Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us Elwood Trost, who has lived many years loving God and loving his neighbors. And he is also an author of several books. And one of them is End Time Prophecy on Zulong Press. That's available if anybody would like to get that. Well, these days there are many people who are looking at the world around us and figuring that these are the end of days, the end of the age, that is to say. And so we are looking to the Bible for understanding of all the indicators that are in front of us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Elwood and I are going to look at Revelation, and it's going to be fun. Well, today, let me just say a little about the book of Revelation. It moves through so many different things. There is first a message to the churches, and there's a blessing to those who read the book of Revelation and who hear the words of that prophecy. Revelation is an amazing book that we sometimes overlook because there's too many elements in it that we just don't want to deal with. We want to focus on one part or another, like the horsemen or the seals or the trumpets or something. So I don't mean to be talking all the time, Elwood, but Elwood, welcome to Christ Today radio broadcast. I am really looking forward to this.
Well, thank you, John. It's good to be here and to share the Word of God with you and just fellowship with you. We've known each other for a few years. And whenever we get together, things happen.
It's heartwarming. It warms my heart to see you, this brotherhood of Christian fellows that we have, fellowship. That's wonderful.
Yes. I'd like to start by reading the scripture. Maybe let's pray to start.
Yes.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to come into our meeting here and our discussion with us and with everyone who hears this, and let your will be done. Let your will be heard. And Father, guide us and help us to speak the words that you want spoken.
In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 13, we read, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." And that's what we want to do today. We see some things that are coming the next few years, and we just want to share that with you, what we see coming, and so that you can prepare and be ready for it, not caught off guard. What we're going to share is controversial, so I want to just say, if you don't agree with us, we still love you, and we ask that you love us back. You know, that's the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And there's been enough division in the body of Christ. So we don't have to see everything. We don't have to have all our doctrine right, but we need to learn to love. You know, Jesus said, the world would know God sent me if he saw love between the church, between us, the Christians. And I know of a church right now that really loves everybody, witches, whoever comes to them. This one witch came to them for 20 years cursing them, and all they did was love her back.
That's a literal witch. That is somebody who was a practicing witch, but she was still seeking the truth.
And today she's a born-again Christian because all they did was love her. They didn't try to tell her she was wrong or she had her doctrine wrong or anything like that. They just loved her. And once we just start loving the people that Jesus would love, they'll start coming into the kingdom because everybody is really wanting to just be loved. Yes.
When I think of people, or me, I think of all of us, we have something that's not perfect. In fact, sometimes it's sinful.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I am.
I'm just kidding.
I am. But this is the thing. We want people to have relation with us, and we want to give that relation of Christ's love to other people.
Amen. Amen, John. Yeah. Well, anyway, what I want to share is what I see coming, possibly the next 7 years, and preceding the second coming of our Lord. And so Mark Belt is a Messianic pastor in El Shaddai Ministries, located in Summer, Washington. And he's well-versed in the Semitic cycles. A Semitic cycle, if you don't know what it is a seven-year cycle where they would plow and harvest their crops for 6 years, and then they let the field rest for the 7 year. And that's a Semitic cycle. And then after seven Semitic cycles, 49 years, we had the 50th year, which was the year of Jubilee. And then the year of Jubilee, everything was returned back to the original owner. And the wisdom of that was it prevented greed. The rich didn't get richer and the poor get poorer. Everything went back to ground zero again. But anyway, he sees Daniel's 70th week, which is the last 7 years of this age, beginning September 26, 2022, which starts as Semitic cycle and also a year of Jubilee. And so that, if it doesn't start then, it has to wait for the next Semitic cycle, which will be September 2029. And so with the world events the way they're going right now, I think he could be right. And one way we can recognize it is what starts it is a scripture we get out of Daniel 9:27. And it says, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That 1 week is a week of years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. That's Daniel 9:27. So that's where we get the 7 years from. And so he says he believes that'll start at that time in this September. And then one revelation that the Lord gave me is one seal in the book of Revelation would be opened each year of that Daniel 70th week. And like our brother John just said here, it's not the end of the world, it's the end of the age. Yeah. Jesus is going to come back, Satan's going to be bound, we're going to have peace for that 1,000 years. And we could be closer to that than a lot of people believe right now. Because one of the tricks of the enemy is to keep people so busy right now, they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying. And that's how we can prepare for what's coming in the next few years, is start reading our Bibles and take some time to start praying and basically just get closer to Jesus, because it's going to be His Holy Spirit that's going to give us the power to get through what's coming in the next few years. So if it does start this September, and I see one seal of the book of Revelation being opened each year for the next 7 years, we can get an idea of what to expect the next 7 years. And like I said, I'm not prophesying this. I'm just saying, watch. And Jesus told us to watch for the signs of the seasons. And so if we're watching, and it does start that time, well, we're going to know the first year is the white horse going forth, which is symbolic of deception. The first thing that Jesus told us in Matthew 24 about the signs of a second coming was look out for deception, there'll be many false Christs. So we see where Matthew 24 follows chapter 6 and the opening of the seals in the book of Revelation. They parallel one another, except Revelation gives us a little more detail, where Jesus just kind of gave us an overview. The book of Revelation goes into more detail. And then we have the second horse, is a red horse, the second year. And so that'd be like from September 2023 to September 2024. And that's red horse is war. Jesus said wars and rumors of wars. So you can see how they parallel each other. And the guy in the red horse, he's given a great sword. So we could even see nuclear war during that next year after that, 2024. Because
and we see the way it's headed, the way our conflict in the world is growing. So, yeah, that's another part of it.
Yeah, and the elite is actually working on a chip right now where it says people turn on each other and kill each other, and they're actually where they can hack into people, believe it or not,
I heard that.
And turn them against each other. And so that could be coming pretty soon. And I know that the elite they've gone from 2030 to 2023 to have their one world government. And so it's happening. The end is upon us right now. So we need to just seek the truth and stand firm against all these wiles of the devil. You know, part of the truth is our belt of righteousness. I mean, it's our belt of protection, part of the armor of God.
With that white horse, there's another one. Is the man on the white horse has a bow in his hand, and he has a crown on his head. But the word for crown is corona, and it's just kind of interesting that we have a corona, you know what. Well, it's just that these things are coming together, and it's not that we can just say, this is proof that we are right here in the biblical timeline, but there are the indications, and the indications add up more and more, and that's what we're seeing.
Amen. Yeah, and then the third horse,
yes.
If one seal's opened every year, we're looking at 2024 to 2025, is the black horse, which is hyperinflation, famine. It's symbolic of famine.
Yeah.
And then the fourth seal would be from 2025 to the fall of 2026. And do you want to say something about that pale horse?
Well, yes, and the black horse as well, because the black horse with famine effectively is death. And we have so many people today saying that we are going to have food shortages.
Yeah.
And in a sense, that's famine as far as we know here in America. That's one of those indicators that even though we don't know if it's going to be just a plain old truth, it is an indicator. And about that pale horse, which is also a green horse, and it can be pale or green, and green is a... When you talk to the Bible scholars, they say there is no symbolism for green except for Islam. That's the color of Islam. And so there is a question of if that is the element of that pale horse that is coming through to and through the world.
Yes, and we know how if you're not a radical Muslim right now, we know the radical Muslims are, they'll kill anyone that don't believe like them, even their own.
Yeah.
And so in the ninth verse of chapter 24, Jesus says that we'll be persecuted of all nations.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we just want to just warn people about, is persecution is coming, I think, in America, and it's already in the rest of the world.
Yes.
this one group has compiled some figures, said 900,000 martyrs in the last decade. That's 90,000 a year, or one martyr every 6 minutes is taking place right now. And if you're in Korea, North Korea, or if you're in China or Iran, it's a life sentence. Yes. I mean, a death sentence if, not a life sentence, a death it's, sentence
yeah.
If you mention the Lord, you know, if you mm-hmm. if you have a Bible. And,
right.
And so, you know, it's coming to the whole world, because Jesus says in verse 9 in Matthew 24 that we'll be persecuted of all nations.
Yeah.
And so it's coming here, and we need to get ready for it and not thinking we're going to escape this, because it doesn't matter what your view is of when the rapture is, the persecution is going to come before that. Because in verse 15 of 24, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation. And so basically, he's starting off in Matthew 24 when he gets halfway through, we're halfway through the 7 years. Because we read from Matthew, from Daniel 9:27, where it was in the middle of that week, 3.5 years, when the abomination of desolation was going to be set up. So we know where we're at in Matthew 24 then. And then in verse 15, he said, those in Judea flee into the mountain. Well, that's when the invasion of Israel happens. So that's, we're looking at the spring of 2026, when the abomination of desolation is set up, if we see it start this year. That's a big if, I know. But if we see it, we can expect that by Passover 2026 and see the Antichrist sitting in the temple. Mm-hmm. So that means that first 3.5 years, the temple has to be rebuilt. But they're ready to do it right now. All they need is permission.
I've been hearing about this for years, about how there is the temple society that has everything all ready to go, even the stonework to build the temple, including the instruments that would be used in the temples, all according to biblical standards. It's ready. It is all ready to go, and it could happen. I have heard the number of 30 days before. That seems a little too quick, but they do have everything all lined up in Israel to put it together completely. So it could be a very quick thing.
And actually, the sacrifices can start without the temple.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they were held outside the temple.
Boy, so that's a good point.
They could start right away, and then the temple has 3.5 years to be built, the next 3.5 years. But then when the fifth seal is open, it talks about martyrdom, and that's when persecution comes to the whole world. And I believe that's when it comes to America. And we're looking at the fall of 2026 and to the fall of 2027 for that to start. And, you know, it might sound like we're setting dates, but we're really not.
No.
Because no man will know the day or the hour, Jesus said. But if he comes back on the Feast of Trumpets, guess what? Nobody knows the day or the hour the Feast of Trumpets begins, and it's the next feast to be fulfilled. And let me explain. Jesus fulfilled the first three festivals at his first coming. And I'm getting my thoughts straight here. So there's seven feasts in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and Jesus fulfilled the first three, like I said, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. He was raised from the dead on first fruits, which is 3 days after Passover. Then 50 days later, Pentecost was fulfilled when he poured out the Spirit on the church. So then we have summertime, and then we have the fall feasts. So the summertime, excuse me, the summertime is like the symbolic of the 2,000 years we've been in. And then the next one to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets. 10 days later is the Day of Atonement, and 5 days after that is the Feast of Tabernacles. So those are a rehearsal of the second coming. So that's why we say it might start on September, on the Feast of Trumpets, 7 years earlier, because if it ends on the Feast of Trumpets 7 years later, then we know when it has to start. So putting all this together is like putting a puzzle together, and pretty soon a picture starts appearing. And so then the sixth seal, getting to the sixth seal, is cosmic signs. Well, Jesus talked about the cosmic signs in Matthew 29, and then he talks about the sign of the Son of Man, and that's when he puts a rapture. And in verse 29, he says, after the great tribulation, after the tribulation of those days. So Jesus taught that the rapture, and he never called it the rapture, by the way, he called it the resurrection, and so did Paul. Nobody mentioned anything about a rapture until just recently in recent history. It was, we know it as a resurrection. Our hope is in the resurrection, not the rapture.
Yes.
And so I'm going to call it the resurrection. He put it after the great tribulation. So I believe what Jesus taught over what so many are teaching today about the great escape, because God has never led his people into escape. He's never done it. He's always been with us through it. And guess what? It's going to be the church's glorious hour. If you read Daniel 11, chapter verses 28 through 35, it says we'll be doing exploits during that time. We'll be leading many to the Lord. It's going to be God's harvest time. And Jesus said, pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. The Great Tribulation is God's harvest time. In Revelation 7:9, it says there's so many saved during that time, they can't even be counted. And so we're looking at the church's finest hour during the Great Tribulation. And yeah, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be a difficult time. But that's what's going to be waking people up, is the difficult time. We've already seen a little bit of that with just COVID, which is really minor compared to some of the stuff that's coming in the next 7 years. Then that brings us to the seventh seal, which announces the wrath of God, or actually the sixth seal announces the wrath of God. It begins on the seventh seal with the trumpet judgments, which is really interesting, because if you follow what I say, what I'm saying is the trumpets will be falling in 2029. And that puts the second coming in the fall of 2029. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know it'll be in the fall on the Feast of Trumpets that year. And so anyway, what I'm...
That's another, just terrifically exciting.
Go ahead.
But to think about that, this being a time of the harvest, and that's one of the things that we have to remember too, that this is exciting, because the kingdom of God is going to grow exponentially as we do our parts too.
Yes, and another revelation that fits this timeline from another person. See, all I'm doing is putting revelation together here. Is Tom Horn, and he had a dream, and Tom Horn's dreams come true if you know anything about him. And he saw this asteroid hitting the Earth in the spring of 2029. Well, according to my scenario, that's when the trumpets are beginning, are sounding. And if we look at that, let me read here what the seventh trumpet looks like, second and third trumpet, because he saw this asteroid hitting the Earth in April 13, 2029. That's, NASA confirmed this, and they named it Apophis.
Apophis. Yeah.
And so NASA today says, well, it's going to be a near miss. But I believe his dream over what NASA is saying.
And I've heard it talked about as coming within the atmosphere of Earth so that it would disrupt the satellites in Earth orbit. So you talk about a near miss. I mean, that's close.
Well, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water, and the name of the star was Wormwood. The third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. And that's Revelation 8, 9 through 11.
And we know that Wormwood was also the name of Chernobyl in Russia, where there was the nuclear meltdown. Well, practically a meltdown. Well, it was a meltdown. It just didn't go worldwide. But it is an indicator, again, an indicator of what could be coming.
Anyway, this asteroid is massive. It's 4 football fields wide and weighs several tons. And if it hits the Earth, it's going to shake the whole Earth. It's going to, well, it says here, a third of the ships will be destroyed. And so these are things we're facing in the next 7 years. And even though it's 7 years out, that's getting pretty close.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, when we think of a lifetime, how long do we expect to live? Well, is it 60 or 70 years, or are we getting to think like we're going to live into our 90s? Well, anyway, the time frame, the important thing about that time frame is to realize that it is limited. And that means we have work to do for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's really the thing that all this is pointing to. There are people who we know, who we love, that really do not have that relation with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is something that we are called to do, to be missionaries to the people we love, yes? To be expressing the love of God through Jesus Christ to the people that need that love.
Amen to that, yeah. So anyway, that's what I see possibly coming in the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like coming on the program and sharing that. It is a time to seek the truth and
seek the truth. That's something we do. We want to know the truth, and we do not want to be deceived. And how many times does it say repeatedly in the Bible, be not deceived? Right. We want the truth, and the truth is biblical truth that we can learn when we study the Bible. And this is a part of it also, that there will be an end of the age. And that means we have work to do for God's kingdom here on earth.
Yeah, I'm thinking of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which I read this about almost 50 years ago, and it's one reason I never believed in the escape theology, that we'd be here to go through that. And so let me read it. This is out of the New Living Translation. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Let me interject there that the reason Paul wrote the second letter to 2 Thessalonians was there was people that sent a letter to them and said it was from Paul, that the resurrection had already happened. And so he's writing this to clarify that it hadn't already happened. And he says, do not believe them, even if they claim to have the spiritual vision, a revelation, or a better supposedly from us, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion. Other translations say a falling away against God and man, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Well, we know he's revealed halfway through the 7 years. We got that from Daniel 9:27. And it says, then it goes back to say, the one who brings destruction, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he is God.
I would say something about that too, because the temple, the third temple, can be built in Jerusalem. And there are many people who are of the opinion that the Dome of the Rock has to be destroyed for the third temple to be built. That's a very controversial, and really I think it's not true at all, because if the third temple is built at the site of David's temple, that's 300 yards, or is it 100 yards? It's a good distance away from the Dome of the Rock, and that means that there does need to be no destruction. It could happen really any time, and that's the point.
Yeah, that's true, John. They have found out where that is, where the old temple was, and it's an open space where they can rebuild. And so that, you know, the whole thing, the covenant will probably let them build the temple there, and it can be for both Muslims and Christians and Jews, and the whole world's going to come together in peace. But it's going to be a false peace, because we know a year later we got war going on, wars and rumors of war, and so the one that steps up with, "Hey, I've got the answer to world peace," he could be the Antichrist, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, he has all the answers. And,
yes.
And see, deception is going to be rampant. Well, it already is around us.
Yes, it is.
But it's going to be even more rampant during that time. And see, a lot of these things we see being fulfilled right now, because a lot of these seals, we see glimpses of them being fulfilled already.
Good way.
But those could be God saying, hey, the greater one's coming. The actual fulfillment is still yet to happen, but it's coming soon. And that's the way I see it, like a crescendo, you know, right? You know, like the COVID, you know, is like, hey, the third seal is pestilence, you know. And so that doesn't mean we're in the third seal, but it means it's coming. That's the way I see it, you know.
An indicator of what's coming, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard them called shadows of things to come, or shadow signs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way I see it, because it does almost look like it's already here, you know.
Sort of, yes.
But I think when it's really here, and if you read the Word and you're in prayer, you're going to know, you know. That's what that's my belief, yeah.
Yes, and one of the things also, oh boy, let me think, where is it? There is a great deal of death that comes to the world in that book of Revelation. I don't quite remember the point, but that's one of the ways that it can come, yes.
Yes, amen. Well, what else you want to talk about?
Well, the pestilence and the war is a big thing, and that is right there in that book of Revelation, and how those things are coming. What else is coming? Well, all right, we talked a little about the horsemen and the trumpets and the bowls and And these things are going to, oh, I guess that angel who cries woe to the inhabitants of earth, and that's in chapter 8. And oh, that's wormwood too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I mean, those are things that we can pretty much be sure they're coming, because not only is it in the Bible, but it's repeated in different ways. So we have those things coming along. And yes, in chapter 8, but there's also the forewarnings of them also when we talk about wars and rumors of war in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So there are indicators that just bring it there. And Daniel is also talking about the things to come. The day of the Lord, when will that be? Whoa, the divine intervention of the day of the Lord. I mean, that's just amazing, too. That's a little further in Revelation chapter 16. But, and also in 2 Corinthians, the day of the Lord. When is that? What does that mean? I'm not sure we can actually know that, but we can know that these things are discussed and talked about. And therefore, we can be prepared for the things that are going to come upon the earth. And that is spiritual preparation and perhaps also physical preparation because, well, again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all talk about famine. So what kind of preparation can we do for that? Of course, have some food and a way to have clean water. So those are a part of the preparation we can do besides the spiritual preparation, which is the most important thing, spiritual preparation with our closeness to Jesus and the holiness that we want to live, have our life reflect the holiness of God.
Yeah, I agree, John. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "The love of many will wax cold during that time." Yeah. And so I believe one of the greatest things we can do is hang on to our love and know that it's the most powerful spiritual weapon we have, along with faith and hope. But love is the greatest. And we got to meet what's coming with love, faith, and hope, and hang on to it with all our strength. And press into the Lord, because He is the source of all that.
Yeah, and the source of our strength, the source of all that. Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. And so, basically, if you don't have enough food, God can multiply it. If you have a little to start with, we're not going to be able to store up enough food for 3.5 years for everybody. And we're not going to be able to buy and sell for that 3.5 years. But God will provide. He's promised to provide for us. It'll be supernatural. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fed Elijah with ravens. You know, we could be fed that way. We don't know. But God will take care of those that stand firm. Mm-hmm. And that's what He says. Let me read this scripture here. Like I said, this is New Living Translation, and he says, "With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you in both person and letter." And we know that Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Yeah. So the New Testament is going to be the letters that he wrote. It says, hold strong onto the Word of God, because everything Satan has, he's going to be throwing against the Word of God. He's going to say, "Well, it was written by man." You know, that's one of his lies. And it was written by man when God was telling him what to write. You know, and so it's the Word of God, and it's all put together. 66 books in the Bible. The number of man is 6. I mean, he's got his stamp of approval all over the Word. I started reading it almost 50 years ago, and I believe it more to be true today than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one place you can go today to find truth is in the Word of God. And another thing I'd like to say about the Old Testament compared to the New Testament is that the Old Testament, we were to stay away from other people that weren't of God, you know, because they would lead us astray. But in the New Testament, all that's changed. We have the power, you know. They should be afraid of us. The world should be afraid of us because we have the power to change lives. And we need to realize who we are, our identity in the Lord, and step out into that and start laying hands on the sick and watch them get healed, watch their lives recover, lead them to the Lord. We are the ones that have the greatest power on earth today, and we don't have to be afraid of the homeless, the New Agers. We don't have to be afraid of the witches and the warlocks. No curse can land without a cause, and we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So what I'm saying is go out, be bold, be strong, because the Lord thy God is with you. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the power. We Christians have the power, and not that we need to get into your testimony, but we can. It's simply that you have seen the power of God heal people and take them from life, from death to life. You've seen it. You've called upon Jesus.
You know, right after I got saved back in 1973, I was living by myself in a log cabin, and I had an extra bedroom. So I said, well, Lord, you can send somebody here. Maybe I could help them, you know. And I've found the light. Maybe I could lead them to the light. So a few days later, this guy drives up my driveway, dumps this guy off, and he comes into my house. And the guy leaves. And so all of a sudden, this guy is a town drunk of this town that I was from. For 30 years, he was homeless. He was really full of demons. I mean, he was just really a mess. And all of a sudden, he's living with me. And then I realized the Lord, when I prayed, Lord, you can send somebody here to help. He was actually telling me he was going to send somebody I could help. So a couple days later, he's flopping around on the floor, and he's foaming at the mouth. So I get shook up. I don't know what to do. I'm a brand new Christian, read the New Testament one time. I didn't even know about demons or anything. So I go over and lay hands on his head, and he comes out of it. And he gets delivered, but I don't realize even what's going on. And this is how you don't have to know what's going on if you have the Holy Spirit. He can do it for you. I mean, it helps to know what's going on. But anyway, so I take him to the emergency room in a nearby town. And so he goes in the back room with this doctor, and pretty soon the doctor comes out, and he goes, Elwood, do you have healing powers? And I just said, well, I prayed that Jesus would heal him, laid hands on him, and prayed for him, that Jesus would heal him. And the doctor says, well, we think you can do more for him than we can. And he released him back to me. And and I'm going, I was hoping they'd put him in the hospital for a few days so I'd get a break from him. But and we've seen a lady raised from the dead. You know, she overdosed in the hospital, and several of us went in and prayed for her. And the next thing we know, she was dead for 45 minutes, straight line. See, Jesus told us, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse the lepers. That's our marching orders. So if we're not doing it, then we need to press in and get what we need to be able to do that. Because he didn't just expect the apostles to do that. The apostles expected us to do that. I mean, they were to teach us how to minister, you know, Ephesians 4:11 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. God never intended one person to do all the ministry. and stand up there on a Sunday morning and preach while the rest of us sat in pews. He wants us into all the society out there in the world, changing the world wherever we go. And you have the power to do that. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the power to change, but not walk in arrogance about it either, but humility and love. And you can't be in pride and love at the same time. I mean, you got to be humble, and we really need to start loving the unlovable. But that's what Jesus would do if he was here today. He would be loving those that we wouldn't touch, you know. And I believe we all need to repent. I'll start myself, you know, repenting of walking by people that could use my help and the God's help, and just being too busy or just not having the compassion. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of another scripture right now.
It can start with a prayer. I mean, it can be a real simple prayer, or it can be an action. But I love that testimony that you have, that we can do it. You were a young Christian, a new Christian right at that time, and that's something that I think we all can recognize in us, that we don't have what we need to do the works in front of us, but we can do them, and that's what we have to remember. Through Jesus Christ, we can do them.
Yes. The scripture I'm thinking about here is Jesus traveled. It's Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into the fields." So,
and that's us. We are the workers. He calls upon us to love people and tell them about the free gift that Jesus has for others, for all of us, every one of us. The forgiveness of sins and the holy covering of Jesus Christ, that we can spend eternity with Jesus Christ in a heavenly place and not have to go to the lake of fire.
Amen.
So we get to figure this out, too. There are things that we can do actively, yes, with prayer, but then we have to actually do something. And that's the point, that we have to be prepared. We have a missionary field right in front of us, every one of us, and we don't know who to. It might be to our family, to our friends, or somebody we don't know right on the streets. But we have to be ready to do God's work and tell them about the free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think one thing that'll help is if mm-hmm. we start seeing witches and warlocks mm-hmm. and those as lost souls that need the Lord instead of the enemy, somebody that we have to fight spiritually or something like that. And I'm not saying that we don't do spiritual warfare, but our war isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against them. It's against spirits in high places, the Bible says. And so I think if our attitude toward them changed, it would make it easier for us to have compassion. If we could just see them as lost souls that need Jesus and just love them, they're going to come into the kingdom. It might take a while, and you might test your patience, but in the meantime, God's going to test our patience anyway so it can grow, you know. I mean, that's one reason we go through stuff, is so we can grow. You know, the Bible says that. Otherwise, the day we got saved, he would just take us into heaven, you know, if we didn't need to be redeemed, you know. But, God God sends us through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them, it says in Psalm 34. And then in Psalm 119, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep his word. So that's one reason God allows us to be tested, is to change us into the image of his son, Jesus. And if we don't understand that, we can think, well, God's punishing us. When he's not, you know, he punished Jesus for us. All we got to do is believe. So he'll never punish us if we're in Jesus, but he will change us. And he'll do whatever he has to do to change us and conform us to his son so that we fit into his kingdom.
Many times we hear we are going to be victorious in Jesus. We're going to have victory over the situations and over the world. Well, included in victory is a struggle. It's a battle. And that's something that we have. There's Revelation 19:19 talks about that, how we will succeed. We will be victorious. But that means there will be a battle, and that's what we have to accept as we go through life. There will be battles. And we Amen. Rely on Jesus Christ to get us to the victory.
Amen, John. Well said.
Oh. Well, we have so many things right in front of us. We have the things going on in the sun, with the sun and the moon and the stars, and these are things that are signs and indicators to show Amen. Us that we are getting close to the end of the age. And this is something which we want to stand up strong for God's kingdom. And that's the other part that is confronting us one way or another right in front of us. And as the days get closer to the end, there will be more and more things that we see. Challenges, yes, but we will be victorious. Let us put our hope in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to add to that,
yeah.
We're all unworthy, but you know, he loves us just the way we are. And if you haven't come to him, don't think you have to get perfect to get into the kingdom, because he takes you just the way you are. And but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He will change you. He'll deliver you from drugs. He'll deliver you from lust, pornography.
Yes.
He'll deliver you from the things that are destroying you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that Satan came to steal, rob, and destroy. But he came to give life and give it more abundantly. And without the love of Jesus in your heart, life just really doesn't have any meaning. And he says, if you believe in him, you will never die. And he wasn't talking about your body. He was talking about your spirit, your soul, would live on into eternity. And so what God has to offer us is more than you could actually earn. If you were a multimillionaire on earth here, you're still going to go in the grave. You got to have some insurance that you're going to come up out of that grave. And the only insurance that we have, the only hope we have, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of the resurrection. That is our hope for the future. And why he leaves us here is to change us and to bring others into the kingdom too. We're not here just to be comfortable. You know, I mean, we all want to be comfortable, but he's got greater plans than just being comfortable or being rich or being famous and all that stuff. Because have you ever known a famous person after they're dead for a few years? Nobody even knows about them anymore. They don't even think about them anymore. So he's got greater plans for us, you know, like it says in the Bible in Jeremiah 29:11, he knows the plans he has for us for a future and a hope. So God has a great plan for you, but you have to humble yourself, repent, and give your life to him. Because you know what? He doesn't force you into his kingdom. He's not a controlling God. He gave us free will. And that's why you wonder why a lot of people blame him for the stuff that's going on in the world. Well, he gave us free will. He didn't make robots. And so the problem is mankind. It's not God. So anyway, that's the way I see it. And I'll go ahead and pray.
That's the way I see it, too. Yeah. I'm so glad you said it like that. That's terrific. yes, we pray to be holy and leave the spirit of the world behind and seek Jesus Christ and his holiness.
Yeah. Yeah, so that trumps anything that we said about the end times is just come to know him, give your life to him, repent of your sin, and be born again. You know, he promises to give us a new life. So, Heavenly Father, we just ask for those that are in the they're making a decision right now to either reject you or come to you. We just pray that you would meet them right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, and draw them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. We be ask for those that do come to you, that you would lead them into a fellowship where they could grow in you with other Christians. That you would send apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers into their life to equip them to do the work of the ministry. That every born-again Christian is a minister. They're ministering whatever they're at. And we just pray that they would see themselves as ministers. If it's working on a car, if it's mowing lawns, if it's whatever they're doing, it's ministry to you. And I just pray for that truth, your truth to come forth, Lord Jesus. In this day, in this hour, we just say, truth, arise, lies. We rebuke your lies, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and we just expose them as lies, and we pray that ears would be open to hear the truth and respond to the truth in these days, in Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Oh, that is so terrific, Elwood Trost. Thank you very much. It's so wonderful to have you on the broadcast today. We pray for every faithful Christian to be strengthened by Jesus Christ in the coming days and whatever is ahead. Thank you for listening today, and if you would like to listen to this broadcast again, go to www.christtoday.org. Thank you, Elwood Trost, very much.
Oh, thank you for having me here. Bless you, John.